Hello again, and welcome to another edition of Sunday Huddle. We are so excited, as always, to be with you guys today. Grateful, as always, for Sports World and Brotherwood Coffee and all they do to support us, man. There's a link in the bio. Buy some Brotherwood Coffee. Help to support what we're doing here with the Sunday Huddle. As always, I am joined with Brian and Nathan. Fellas, how are we doing today?
What's crack-a-lackin'?
I was good. Now I'm not sure, actually.
Gosh, where did that even come from? I don't even know where it came from.
My brain.
Yeah.
It's full of good material in there.
It's a dangerous place.
It is. Your brain is a dangerous, dangerous place. Man, just I love being with you guys. Love hanging out with you guys. Man, we're so grateful to you as an audience, man. We just had such a great engagement with the podcast. And today, we're going to talk about, man, and I wonder how many other places. We're going to talk about materialism. Mm. We're going to talk about having stuff. Is having stuff a bad idea? Is it wrong always to possess things? And when does it step over? When's the line where having something's good, but wanting more is unbiblical or ungodly? Some initial thoughts there, Nathan?
I think it makes clears things up a little bit as to why when I walked in, you immediately like grabbed my shirt, like looking at the tag and stuff. I said, what brand is that? What are you wearing?
Who are you wearing?
Or who are you wearing, as they say, right? I don't know how to respond to that.
But. Yeah, I don't either. What is Forever 21? What is that? The tag.
I'm not sure. What, okay. I don't understand the joke.
Oh my gosh, go ahead. That's good. Lane Bryant. But anyway, that was good.
I don't get it.
Go ahead.
Yeah.
You're wearing a woman's hoodie, is what I'm saying.
I don't think so.
That is a funny joke, then.
they're cheaper. It fits better.
Go ahead. They are
the shoulder pads are just really comfortable.
Yeah.
Shoulder pads. So I think materialism, whenever it crosses the line, was that the question? I forgot the question, actually.
How do we know? Yeah, some initial thoughts. On what is it? When do we go too far?
Yeah. So certainly I think having things is not bad, and wanting nice things even is not bad, and spending your hard-earned money that you have on things is not bad. However, whenever I think our things become like the primary thing that like occupies our mind, I mean, you know, the word says that we are to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, mind, and soul. And which means that, and strength, sorry.
And gosh. Strength. If it's not King James, he gets mad about it.
I know.
Seriously, dude.
I know.
Yeah.
So we're to love God. So then if possessions or things, whether that be something as simple as my women's hoodie or a house or a car or something like that, then I think whenever like the pursuit of those things is what occupies my mind more than God and the things of God, then it becomes an issue.
No, I definitely agree with that. I think that being in the culture that we surround ourselves in, culture glorifies material things. It glorifies wealth, status, the things that we have. And when you go on a mission trip to a remote village that has a bunch of nothing, they are so much happier of a people. They aren't worried about, man, how am I going to look around this or what about this? They get to actually spend their time devoted to God and spending time with family and just living life rather than trying to impress people. There's a cliche saying about we spend money we don't have to buy things we don't need to impress people we don't know.
Right.
And
yeah,
this is the culture in which that happens. And when we have an abundance of wealth, we're in a recession or whatever, and the economy, the inflation is hitting us hard, we still live and have so many things that just, it's unreal. We have so many things as a culture of, oh man, everyone has multiple rooms in their house and each kid can have their own bed and they get their cars and everyone has computers in their pocket that are $1,500 or something. And it's crazy just the amount of luxury that we live in that we're surrounded by that we're so used to seeing, we don't even realize it half the time.
Yeah, for me, I think, and we'll talk about more about what it is. For me, it's a very, very difficult sin to overcome and even to define. Because how much is too much?
Yeah. Right? Whatever you have is too much. And whatever I have exactly. Is just right.
The line I've shared before when I was critical of a televangelist whose house was too big. And one of the friends said to me, you know, the house that's too big is the one that's bigger than yours.
Yep.
Right. That's yep. So the line of demarcation is the car that's too nice is the car that's nicer than mine.
It's
right?
like Rockefeller when they asked how much more money do you need to make? And he said, just another dollar. And that's where it always comes down. Is just right. another dollar is everything that it is when it comes to the sliding scale of what is materialism versus isn't.
Yeah. And we want to be very careful not to give this false holiness, attribute this false holiness to people who are in poverty, mm-hmm. right? That being in poverty doesn't necessarily make that, or you not having nice things shows that you're more holy or spiritual. So for me, it's really tough because where is again the line of demarcation? Like I said, with the majority of the world, they would say that we're well living in materialism because we have more than one set of clothes, we eat more than one meal a day, we have houses, right? We have so all those things, and they would be very, very easy or very, very hard to define for me.
Yeah, and I think part of what makes it so hard to define is in America, in our culture, and Brian alluded to it a little bit as well, is it's something I think all of us genuinely struggle and wrestle with on some level. So we talked last episode about gossip, and part of what made gossip a dangerous sin, I think, and a big deal was that we all do it, we all know we do it, and we kind of laugh at it. Whereas materialism, I would say, just and this is just my own observation and opinion, is we all think we don't do it,
oh, well but we all said. Do. So very
then,
good.
So yeah. Then it's dangerous on a different level in that we don't think it's an issue. But then in our culture, it's no, it's a massive issue. It's a huge issue.
Yeah, you're just a youth pastor. You don't say smart things, but you did then. That's that's brilliant insight.
I'm writing that down so I don't forget the day he did something like that.
That the just youth pastor said. So there's these things though. No, what a great, great observation that, no, but that's points to what I said. That guy's guilty of it, not me. Because mm-hmm. he has the house that's this much bigger. He has the car that's this much nicer. He wear the tags this much. So that would be exactly right. It would be something that we think we're all not guilty of. And also because we're not satisfied even with what we have. All it takes for us to be dissatisfied with what we have is to be around people who have nicer stuff.
Instantly.
It's so simple, and how unsatisfying it is. I mean, think about it. You know, buying a car, and it's great for 6 months or a year, and then it's just a car, right?
Or Christmas presents even.
Yeah.
You see that with the young kids that we have now, this Christmas present that they wanted that they get tired of, I say 2 weeks, maybe 2 hours.
Right.
Then the box that it came in is more of a plaything than the actual toy.
My kids get stuff from Santa, so they're always grateful for that. Full circle.
Did we actually define what materialism is?
We did not. You got a definition for us, a working definition?
I think so.
Let me hear it.
The way that I get it is it's an obsession with wealth, possessions, status, or a source of identity / security for your happiness.
So it's going to go to, as we talked about a little bit last time, it's going to be what's our motivation for it? It's going to be that one person can have, and this is where we get into kind of crazy things on, and people don't like about us. It's with so many other subjects, alcohol we mm-hmm. talk about, that some person can have could have a beer after a football game, and it's not a problem for him, and it's a problem for somebody else. Well, wait a minute, the exact same action should be the exact same sin in man's eyes. Mm-hmm. But no. There's one person who could have a house, and the other one who could have the identical house, and one's in sin, and one is not, because one of them owns the house, and the other one, the house owns them.
True.
Yeah.
And so it's this motivation in our heart that God looks at our heart, and so we can't even tell from the outside.
Absolutely.
I think we so quickly want to attach a price number to it of that's what materialism is how expensive something is.
Yeah.
Being in ministry, not just youth ministry, just ministry in general, the cool thing right now is you got to have cool shoes, right?
Yeah.
Is you have to have cool shoes, or no outfit is complete without cool shoes. So usually it's the question of, well, how much is too much then? Is $500 too much on a pair of shoes? Or some people might say, oh my gosh, you can't get anything nice for $500. But then the next person would say, are you kidding me? I would never even come close to $200 on a pair of shoes. So we try and put a price on it. But you're right. And that's not an accurate measure for it. Because it's what's the position of the heart? And then price doesn't work anyway, because $500 to one person is not the same as $500 to another person. And
yeah you can get 10 pairs of shoes at Ross, which is the only place I get mine if it's not Sam's Club.
I don't like how frugal you are. That's awesome. And I know where liars go. See,
so. No, that's all. That's it. That's where it's at. Because they, when you have size 13, Flux. They, I don't know why it is.
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah.
But there's a lot more for my size than for, I guess y'all are tall. Well, not Jeff, but.
Yeah. Dang. Old and short. You get shorter as you get older.
We never said old.
You think, yeah. So shoes, what a great. So I do a lot of school assemblies. I was in Illinois this last week doing a lot of school assemblies. My kids that are not kids, they're not young anymore, have emphasized to me over time that, man, you can't look lame. And the way to not look lame is to have some decent pair of shoes. I will tell you, it's kind of funny. In our assemblies, we do kind of comment cards, and I'll get as many comments as about my shoes as any other thing.
Wow.
Oh, the shoes are – but they recognize – hey man, they don't know. I didn't choose them, right? I was gonna wear a New Balance, right?
New Balance are cool right now.
Oh, are they? Did I totally go out of it? Yeah, okay. So, but they know this. But you're right. This is too expensive for one, and it's not for another. It's okay to have possessions, but they can't have us. And only God is going to know your heart. But there is a level where I still think that almost all of us would universally recognize that's too much.
Well, again, it depends. It's all relative, unfortunately, to a certain aspect. There is the nuance. So I like to listen to arguably the wealthiest person to ever live, Solomon. And Ecclesiastes is my favorite book in the Bible. There awesome. Are so many wisdom, so many tidbits that he just says because he did it all. He experienced so many things. And Ecclesiastes 5:10 says, "He who loves money will not be satisfied with money, nor he who loves wealth with his income. This is all vanity." And constantly says, vanity of vanities. It's like chasing after the wind. There's this one-armed man we're looking for. That's a fugitive joke, Nathan. I think you're too young to understand that one. But Jeff got it. He watched it in theaters. But we're constantly wanting to set this bar. It's this dragon we're trying to chase that... when we have that, and the richest man who had it all, more than you ever could, he's like, it's still not going to be enough. Life without God is what it's all about. At the end is kind of how he says. And he goes into so many more things in Ecclesiastes about wisdom and being dumb and all sorts of things. But when it comes to the loving of money, we will not have enough if we're not making sure that we're intentional, that everything we do is glorifying God, is honoring God. And when it comes to materialism, the possessions that we have, my wife is on a big kick these days to get rid of everything that I spent the past 15 years accumulating.
Wow.
Most of it was prior to her that I've just kept in the same box that I moved in. But
yeah.
She wants to make sure to declutter. And it does help. To a certain aspect, when you have a grandparent who dies and they hoarded a whole bunch of stuff, and these things that they had forever that was a treasured possession of theirs, or something that they thought might be worth something someday, that ends up not you mean my what are the little dolls that we used to get?
We were boys. We didn't play with the dolls.
Beanie Babies.
We still didn't, but that's okay.
I'm not familiar with
that. I know Nathan was.
Just because we're men.
So they'd be worth millions one day.
They were going to be worth millions.
Oh, yeah.
Just don't tear that tag off.
Exactly. Yeah, that's right. That's right. Yeah.
And so,
wow, you knew way too much.
It's true, but we were getting rid of some of those. Actually, by that, I'm just giving them to the kids. I know that they'll tear them up in a couple of weeks, and then I can throw it away. Rather, get a little bit of use out of it.
Do they have the plastic cover on the tags?
Some of them do.
Perfect.
Some of them are still wrapped in plastic, but they're definitely not a choking hazard. They're just more fun. But we think that these things that we have as we establish our kingdom here are going to give us value. And the Bible makes it so clear that we're missing it.
Yeah. And in Ecclesiastes 5, I had that one written down as well because it's such a important verse. And it says that it's not having money, but it's the love of money that causes us to do that. And when you have the love of money, you will never, ever have enough.
Right.
Because you love money. And there's only two ways to overcome the desire to have more, and it's to try to purchase more or to desire less. And those are only two options. And the first one, Ecclesiastes 5, says it's not going to work. The more you get, the more you're going to want. When my father passed away, we had a childhood home that we grew up in Houston. And then from there, all the way through college, it was our home. Then they got another home. My mom got a brand new home, first brand new home they'd ever had. It was wonderful. They lived there for a number of years. And as my mother passed away and my dad, he went to a little, it was kind of an assisted living facility, but it wasn't. They would come by and check on it occasionally. It was kind of a little apartment was. And it was tiny. It was small. And I remember when my father passed and we went to this little place. And brother and sisters, they went there and they began to go through and to keep some of the things. And if those possessions in that little apartment represented who my father was and what his life was, what a sad existence he had.
Mm-hmm.
What a terrible existence that was. That this is the accumulation of his life. But it wasn't.
Right.
And ironically, the things that meant the most were the things that would be simple. His badge, his old badge. You know, as a police officer, his graduating picture with his rookie class of the Houston Police Department. Mm. Right, these little things that seem insignificant to others were the things that held the most value to this, because they transcend the item. They point to my father, who was a godly man and raised his children the same way.
Yeah. I think for me, there's a couple of things, because I know there's people listening, and myself too at times, when I think like, okay, you say that it's not supposed to, like, having stuff is not a bad thing and having nice stuff is not a bad thing, but then for the last little bit of time it sounds like we're talking like having the stuff is a bad thing.
Good.
So what are some measures, as I think through what some measures are of how can we know if the stuff that we have and our possessions and stuff, when it becomes like materialism, when it becomes wrong? I think there's two, and they kind of go hand in hand, but I think two ways. Number one is, are we seeking that thing, that possession, are we seeking to get something from it that the Word of God says we're supposed to find in Christ?
Wow.
So if I'm expecting, well, if I can just get the nicer truck, mm-hmm. Then I'll actually, like, I'll be good. I'll be fine. I'll be honest, like with our house, like, whenever my wife and I bought our house not long ago, we were like, man, if I could have a house with a, like, I don't even need a good backyard. Just give me a backyard,
right,
and a place, then, man, we'd be set. And then almost immediately I was like, ooh, but if we had a big patio in the back, a bigger yeah, patio than this.
Yeah.
Like, so when we think I'm going to find fulfillment in this, or if I can, man, I feel like I'm going to find peace or joy in these things. Well, then ultimately, just as with Solomon, we're going to be left like wanting, because we're supposed to be finding those things in Christ and in Christ alone.
What a great.
So there's one mark, one measure. And the other one kind of comes under that umbrella as well, is, but what are you doing with your stuff? What are you doing with your excess? We say it's not wrong when God, like, when you work hard and God blesses you and you do make a lot of money or whatever. Like, that's not wrong and not sinful, but what are you doing with that? And it says in 1 John 3, 17 says, but if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? So it's intense, but it's saying if you have the resources and you're not using it to help those in need, then it says, I mean, very pretty directly there, then how does God's love abide in him? So how are we using our resources? That's another question we ask ourselves.
Oh, absolutely. We talked about it in the giving episode. Yep. About we are steward of God's resources, and we in stewarding the resources that God has entrusted us, if we're just spending it, again, building our own kingdom, our castle in the sand, we're not able to give to those that God would have us do. And if we're specifically like, ooh, if I just get this next thing, whatever this thing is, I still it cracks me up when several years ago, I found out that my base salary was going to be $27,000 a year. And I had the chance, like with commission, I might make 40.
Who's going to do with all that money? What are you going to do?
Literally the thought that entered my head is I'm never going to need another job again.
Yeah.
I'm so set for life.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. And I wish that I still had that, making more than that now, not much more, but making more than that now, I've lost the God has provided so much thing, because now it's almost expected. And the same thing with materials or materialism is that, well, now I expect grass-fed meals. We don't really, but kind of.
Yeah.
I expect my truck to have the seat warmers, because when it's cold outside, I want to be able to remote start that thing and enjoy it. And it cracks me up at this level of luxury that and comfort that is essentially an idol that 15, 20 years ago would have been something that I could have, it was way outside the pale of a realm of me being able to have. And in having all of these things now, I've lost the gratitude that comes with it.
Yeah. I mean, we were talking about this, my wife and I, when we came back in town a little while back, that we were walking in her house, and I walk in and I'm grateful. I'm thankful to God that he gave me this. And I wonder if you just showed the 18-year-old me that I would have this, what kind of gratefulness? Not the same I would have now,
right?
Because it's certainly less than I would have now. And that we need to have this heart of gratitude that God's provided us. And we do pray. I'll tell you, one of our prayers every night is that my wife and I pray that we're blessed, that we can be a blessing to others, that we can give to others, that we can help others, that we can be generous with what we have. And the fact is, when we hold on to it, and then that shows that it has an unnecessary control of our heart, and we need to be very, very careful about that. I may have shared this in a couple of episodes. We had pardon for hearing it again. I remember being in high school and having a Washington Redskin guy. He was a former Redskin Christian guy, came to speak to us, and he shared his faith. And one of his last lines were, and I can remember because I nudged Heath whenever he said this, one of my buddies, he said, being a millionaire is not going to make you happy. And I literally remember walking out of the weight room, nudging my buddy, millionaire, like, try me, bro. Give me a shot. I'll be the first one you ever met. What kind of nonsense is this, right? It's easy to say that when you are that. But man, don't tell me that. What kind of, and man, isn't that the truth? I mean, are the richest people we know the happiest people we know? No, I'm telling you, they're miserable. Many of them are miserable.
Right.
And except
for the ones that are generous.
Wow. And because God continues to bless them, because they're going to be generous with what they have, and he knows that he can trust them. But the other ones that are, you know, they're on their, the guys that I play ball with are on their fifth wife, right? And it's their money's been halved five times. And so they're not happy, and they're not at peace because and it's the same thing. And I know I'm going on a little bit here, but with Solomon, you know, he gives a whole bunch of things that are not suitable for building your life upon. You know, what a tragic thing that your life is built on money, because when money's taken away, you've lost who you are.
Absolutely.
To some platform that I'm an athlete, or I'm this, or this is my job, this is who I am, I'm just a youth pastor, whatever it is. But no, but if your life is built on that, and that's who, and that's your identity, well, that can be taken from you. You can lose that. So to do so is vanity, vanity. It's meaningless, meaningless, says the teacher. He says it's meaningless. Intellectualism, materialism, hedonism, all these ideas he gives that they're worthless to build your life on.
Right. And Brian kind of mentioned it too, that there's some overlap here with the giving episode. Mm-hmm. And in that episode, we said that when it comes to our money and the giving of that, it's not ours anyway. It's That's not right. just if you say 10% or generosity is beyond that or whatever percentage it is. It's not just that percentage is for God. The other percentage is for me. But our stuff is the same thing. Our possessions and the things, our house even, and the things that we have, is that's still not ours.
Right.
That's still God's, and it's for us to use to glorify God. We can do that by enjoying it. I mean, I think whenever, if you have a nice pool in your backyard and you enjoy your pool with your family, I do think that brings glory to God. I think that can. But then I also think we use those things, our possessions and our stuff, to bring glory to God through things like hosting and through mm-hmm. things like using those things to we can laugh at it all we want, but it's a real thing of looking the part so that at a school, at a school assembly, they listen to you.
Yeah.
Like, it's a thing. It is. So I think we recognize it's not ours, and I'm to be using it to bring glory to God.
Yeah. And there's such nuance there as we walk through that, right?
Navigate Absolutely.
Through
that. Absolutely. One of the things that I do with some of my kids is memory verses that we go through, and Matthew 6:33 is a fun one. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. And another one is delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you all the desires of your heart.
Right.
And sometimes we replace the creator for some of the created things.
That's right.
And when we do that, and when anything becomes God, that's, you said earlier, love the Lord God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And if we're putting other things, these created idols, before God, how can we do the rest?
Yeah.
How can we even see clearly to host people or invite people into our homes? I years ago, being single makes things a little bit easier. Not too much. My wife's amazing. We were at some friends who were looking for an extra place to stay. And we, in a two-bedroom house, half of a house, we had five people living there at one time. And it was quite the...
So if the Catholics are right on purgatory, that's it.
It was quite the tight squeeze. They loved the fact that I am very frugal and did not run the heater, so they would wake up literally seeing their breath. It was pretty funny.
I love everything about that.
That's how I roll.
Yeah.
But in doing that, I was so much more generous than... It's also different now with a family. But
yeah. Oh, the kids have frostbite. They can't feel their... They lost a couple of fingers. They have 10.
I meant in opening up the house, but that's also true. My son was asking me today, will you turn on the heat? Go ask your mom.
Okay, let me just hold it real quick. Child Protective Services, do not call.
It's at a really reasonable 45 degrees inside our house.
Go ahead there.
It's not going to freeze the pipes.
Yeah.
But I mostly just want to say is that when we have less, it's crazy how much more generous we can be if God is more the main thing.
Isn't that so true? Yeah. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all else shall be added unto you. That literally we put him in first place in our life, and he meets us where we are. Don't store up treasures in heaven, where moth and rust destroy, but instead, I mean, here on earth, but instead store them in heaven. These things, and it's just being focused. And we've all been just significantly blessed, and we're grateful for that. And again, all of us. And I want to say, I think that people think, and I'll finish with this, that the answer to materialism is to have less. Hmm. But I will tell you, you can have nothing and still be materialistic.
Agreed.
Mm-hmm. And you can overly value that which somebody else has that you don't have. But simultaneously, we bought a couple of books. We bought some books that we liked, and when we were on vacation recently. And I came back. This is a true story, unfortunately. I came back and I thought, you know, these books that I think are really, really neat and really important books that we need to keep, our kids are going to think are worthless. They're literally, we spent this much money on a book and they're going to. So what we did is we kind of started creating a spreadsheet on the book we bought and where we bought it at so that my awful kids won't sell it for nothing at a garage sale. These things. But my wife and I came and talked about it after we went on vacation recently, and we said that we think that even as we spend money on stuff, that experiences are so much better than possessions, than things. And our kids, and we remember, think about the things you do. It's not ever the thing, but it's the experience. And that's what we want to do. And we don't want to be materialistic. You know what? Man, thank you once again for joining us on the Sunday Huddle. Hey, we want you to like and subscribe. If you could, leave a comment. Brotherwood Coffee, there's a link in the bio. Buy some coffee. Help support what we're doing. Have a great day and God bless.
Peace.